We have asked that that be set as an objective only, not an enforceable limit. And the reason we have asked that is we do not have enough information to be able to assure the board that we know we can meet a standard of 10. We believe, we definitely feel the protection of the aquatic environment is actually filled by this line here, by the total suspended solids. And we do know that. We believe that turbidity should be measured, but that we do not, can't guarantee that we know that we could meet that kind of a limit. This is the similar thing for, if we look at the vault and portage attenuation ponds, this is the kind of timing, first of all. The portage pond is operating for 4 years, and this is the volume that we estimate that will be discharged over the life of the mine. The vault then operates from 5 to 8 years, and this is the volume we expect to come from that attenuation pond. We are going to use diffusers to make sure that we mix the water in the lake, and this is the dilution factors that we believe we will get from those two diffusers. That's based upon the engineering of the diffuser. So our standards were based upon this as a background. So this is a table of the end-of-pipe discharge standards that are proposed for the portage attenuation pond. And I've put on there the limits proposed by Environment Canada and the limits proposed by Agnico Eagle Mines. And you'll see by and large that there is agreement, with the exception of turbidity, and I'll speak to that in a little bit. But by and large, there is now agreement between the parties, and that didn't come, and it came from the work we did with all the interveners during the technical meetings. This is a continuation of that same table, and you can see that we've agreed with Environment Canada's numbers on all of the rest of those elements. This is for the vault attenuation pond. And I won't go through the detail on it, but you can see that there's by and large agreement. And the same, this is a continuation of that same table. Looking at the ones that are different, where there are differences, the first one is turbidity. And we've asked that that be set as an objective only because we don't have a sufficient data right now that we can be confident of the relationship at our project between total suspended solids and turbidity. Thus, we don't know that we can actually comply with Environment Canada standard. So we have proposed that we collect the data during this first license term and that then we can address this with more detail later in the life of the mine, but that the TSS standard that we've put in here will provide adequate environmental protection to the environment. The next issue is total dissolved solids. We have proposed the use of chloride in place of total dissolved solids, and I think we had proposed a limit of 1,000 and 2,000, and Environment Canada will make their case that these are that this number here should be lower. We have discomfort with that. We don't believe we can achieve a TDS limit of 1,500 milligram per liter later in the portage attenuation pond, and that's because as the pond refloods, it's going to receive deep groundwater that moves into the bottom of the pit. This is groundwater that's come from many, many years ago, and it contains some TDS, some salt materials within it. And so it's not something we're adding to the water, it's coming from the groundwater that will come into that pit. There's also a difference between the nitrate. Environment Canada proposed 28 milligram per liter, and we have proposed 50, and that's because we believe that we will see some short-term duration upsets, and that 28 is what we're predicting the number to be. And so if we set the number at our prediction, it leaves us no room for an upset every once in a while. And so we feel that 28 is just a little too tight. And both parties on chromium now have agreed that this should be a monitored parameter. Chromium isn't a big issue for this property. There isn't a lot of chromium that comes from the deposits. The concern is with what may come from the lake bed sediments. We also have this stormwater discharge pond, and during the construction phase, we're going to place our sewage, treated sewage, after it comes out of the sewage treatment plant, into this lake. And so we need a standard if we discharge the water from this small stormwater pond into Second Portage Lake, which is the plan. And so Environment Canada have put forward a proposed limit at that point for the end of the pipe, and we, and by and large, have agreed fully with that number. We've also added an additional standard, and this is for water that would come from, say, our fuel containment facility here in Baker Lake. You get snow melt that collects inside the berm for those fuel tanks. And we would then have to process that water through an oil water separator and then discharge that to environment. And so we propose these as a standard for that kind of a discharge. We've actually taken that directly out of a Type B license that the board has issued for our project. We're just assuming that this, or we're asking that the same numbers be brought forward into this new license. Contingency planning. Agnico has prepared and implemented separate contingency plans for the very components of the project. We have a plan for marine transportation that was put together by NTCL and covers all of the marine portion of goods coming into Baker Lake. We have a separate plan for Baker Lake for the marshalling facility and the fuel storage facilities here that was put together for our Type B license. We have a separate contingency plan for the all-weather access road that again was put together for the Type B license. And it was developed by Nuna M&T, and we've adopted that as being the plan for the road. And then we have a separate contingency plan, emergency plan, for the regional exploration activities and for the Meadowbank site. These came about because of the time that the licenses were issued. Each one had a requirement for a separate plan. And it makes sense that these now be consolidated into one plan. And so we're asking the board to give us 6 months from the date of that license is issued to complete and resubmit a consolidated plan that brings all these together under one umbrella. That 6 months allows us to actually determine the names and phone numbers of the people that will actually be doing the various responses. It allows us to reflect what we actually are going to be doing as we build a team here on site. With respect to water quality monitoring, we have submitted previously a water quality and flow monitoring plan. This was updated with a letter follow-up following the technical meeting, and that's document 626 that was submitted to the board. And this plan sets out the proposal for where we should sample, how often, and what parameters. And we would ask that that become the basis for our surveillance network program for this license. That was adapted to try and reflect the input that we heard at the technical meeting, so we believe we have successfully achieved that input. Aquatic effects. This is monitoring of the effects that the mine will have on the aquatic environment outside the mine boundary. So looking downstream in the lakes that will receive the water, we need to look at those lakes and determine what impacts the mine is having over time on the water, the sediment, the small critters that live in the bottom, and right up through the fish to ensure that we can predict or see if any bad trends are occurring. We have already submitted an aquatic effects monitoring plan, a proposed plan, and we're actually implementing that plan. We did a program in 2006, again in 2007, and have another one coming in 2008, so that we're collecting the data as we move through construction into operation. We're asking the board that, this plan will evolve. We recognize that we will learn each year, and so the plan will evolve and adapt as to reflect the things we learn. And so it will need to be periodically updated. We're asking the board to set a condition that the first update be required by March 31st of 2009. That's so that we can get all the experience we learned through 2008 into the report, into the plan in time to do the field season in 2009. And then we have further updates at three-year intervals, formal updates at three-year intervals. Closure and reclamation planning. Again, similar to the spill contingency plan, because of the way the project has evolved, there are already four separate closure plans in place for pieces of this project. They were all designed to be in accordance with INAC's guidelines for closure planning, and they're at the preliminary phase, which is what is appropriate under the INAC guidelines for this phase of the mine life. However, additional planning needs to go on as we get into the construction or as we get through construction to reflect what we've actually built. And so we have committed to continue that closure planning and complete a consolidated plan that is at the next level of detailed planning, what's called an